Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Alan Sutphin. I'll have my wife and daughter stand. Sorry, they're in the back. They're camera shy, so they like to stay in the back. My wife, Elaine, and my daughter, 13-year-old daughter, Rachel. We do have two older boys, Sean. If you have our prayer card or display, Sean is 18, Eric is 17. They are actually in Guyana, South America right now on a missions trip with our youth group. They'll be there all week. And so it's just my wife and my daughter and myself. We are from Temple Baptist Church in Herndon, Virginia. We are missionaries on deputation to Uganda, East Africa. And we have been on deputation approximately 6 months now. And we are approximately 38% supported. And we just thank the Lord for that. We have a full schedule for 2009 all the way until December, about 20 meetings booked next year for 2010. And Lord willing, we hope to be on the field of Uganda, East Africa, by August next year, 2010. And Lord willing, we will get there. I'm going to probably run our DVD in a couple minutes, but to sort of briefly introduce this, not to go back too far, but I was born at a very young age. I was a small child. But the... Okay, all right, not that far back. That's too far back. I was born in eastern Pennsylvania. I grew up in a very non-religious home, just completely a-religious. My dad is an electrical engineer, still alive, not an atheist, but you know, an agnostic at best. I was pretty much a blank slate growing up. And I had no idea what I wanted to do after high school, so I joined the Navy. 1981, I was on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And a shipmate on that carrier gave me the gospel. He shared the gospel with me in the summer of 81. And I did not make a profession of faith at that time. But I realize now, looking back, the gospel seed was planted. And here I am many years later, and I thank the Lord for that. I'll go more into the detail of that after our DVD, but I just wanted to give a brief testimony and praise to the Lord. You never know. You share the gospel with somebody, just that one person, sometimes even that one time. You never know how the Holy Spirit can work in that person's heart. And may not make a profession at that time, and then he may, and we praise the Lord for that. But maybe even a few years down the road, the Holy Spirit may be convicting that person after sharing the gospel, and he may be saved. So my encouragement is never to hesitate to share the gospel with somebody when you have a chance, whether it be a friend, coworker, relative, or if you don't have time, at least give them a track, sort of like a little road map to heaven right in your hands with that person at the convenience store, wherever it might be. And because I'm living proof standing before you here tonight, that simply giving the gospel out can change lives like it changed mine. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. Our trip to Uganda, I should say our path to Uganda began in 2005 when on our church's very first medical missions trip in 2005, we went to Uganda, East Africa. By profession, I'm a physician assistant, a PA. I've been doing that for almost 17 years. For those of don't know what a PA is, a physician assistant. We're trained in the medical model, the same as a physician. I practice medicine the very similar way a physician does, but I cannot practice independently. I can't open my own office and practice. I have to practice with a licensed physician. And I've been practicing for so many years. I'm hoping to get it right one of these days, and hopefully I will. But, of course, we keep practicing, and we'll get it right eventually. But I've been doing orthopedic surgery for almost 12 years. Very fun, like carpentry, the hammer and the saws and the chisels. It is very fun. It is so cool. The Lord is, I've been very blessed with that profession. But after this mission trip in 2005, the Lord came knocking on my heart. He had a little different plan for me. And again, I'll go into more about that after our DVD. We'll show that right now. That'll give some details about Uganda. Over 31 million souls in Uganda. A lot of religions, a lot of Catholicism, Protestantism, they sort of lump all the non-Catholics into the Protestant group. Islam, about 16%, and then there's a lot of a mix of native religions. So it's not that they are completely a-religious or void of the gospel. but they've been given, in many cases, a perverted or a distorted gospel. So we intend to go there to give them the gospel. I always make it very clear that we are not going to Uganda as medical missionaries. I'm a PA, my wife is a nurse, but we are not going there to set up a full-time medical clinic, you know, a doc-in-a-box type of thing, because we'd be stuck there all day. Imagine, if you will, if we were there giving out free medical care, they would never stop coming. There'd always be a line. They're just so poor and needy and ill, they would just never stop coming, and our ministry would get turned around from a gospel preaching ministry into a humanitarian ministry. And there's nothing wrong with being humanitarian. Jesus healed many, many people in his ministry. And I think we can make a big difference that way. But I believe the scriptures are very clear. The gospel is very clear that as a missionary, our job is to preach the gospel. That's what changes lives. I mean, medicine can make people well, but a changed life by the gospel is changed permanently. There's a lot of malaria in Uganda, a lot of illness, and we can treat that, but they'll get malaria again. Each time they get bit by that dreaded mosquito carrying that parasite, they will get it again. But once we're saved, always saved. Praise the Lord. We have those promises on the Holy Bible, King James Version that I use. Pastor and I were going over that. Unfortunately, it's a shame we have to mention that these days, but the days have changed when even supposedly gospel preaching Baptist churches are changing their Bible versions. And I just thank the Lord that we can rest upon His promises, His holy word. We'll play the DVD now. I'll come back and we'll go over some more details. And praise the Lord. Thank you.
Uganda, a nation twice the size of Pennsylvania and with over 30 million souls, is located on the northern shore of Lake Victoria in East Africa. It is bordered on the west by the Congo, on the north by Sudan, on the east by Kenya, and on the south by Tanzania and Rwanda. Uganda is a beautiful and scenic country, abundant with savannas, lakes, and numerous wildlife, including the occasional reptile. The black mamba is one of the most unimpressive-looking yet deadly snakes in Africa, deriving its name from its black mouth and not skin. The agriculture of Uganda is coffee, tea, cotton, tobacco, and cassava. The official language is English, spoken mainly in larger towns, but there are over 40 other dialects spoken throughout the country. Uganda, like most nations, has many religions, including Catholicism, Islam, and other indigenous beliefs, including witchcraft and animism. Though prosperous at independence in 1962, the country was brutalized under the chaotic regimes of Milton Obote and Idi Amin, when as many as 300,000 Ugandans were murdered. In 1986, Yoweri Museveni, leader of the National Resistance Army, came to power and to a large extent restored stability to the war-torn country. An insurgent militia known as the Lord's Resistance Army, led by rebel Joseph Kony, continues to this day terrorizing northern Uganda, and over the past 20 years has abducted some 20,000 children, turning them into soldiers forced to kill even their own kin. But most of all, Uganda is a nation of poor but proud, hard-working people who live from day to day and year to year mired in a life of physical as well as spiritual poverty, many of whom have never heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, a people led astray by false religion or caught up in the spiritual darkness of witchcraft, a people living their lives without the joy, peace, or hope that only the Lord Jesus Christ can provide. We are Alan, Elena, Sean, Eric, and Rachel Sutphin, and we are answering God's call to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Uganda, East Africa. We have been sent out from Temple Baptist Church in Herndon, Virginia, and are serving through Baptist International Missions Incorporated in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was raised in a non-religious family in eastern Pennsylvania. We had no faith, spiritual direction, or anything to do with Jesus Christ. After high school, I enlisted in the U.S. Navy, and while in the Mediterranean Sea, on board the carrier USS Forrestal, I was given the gospel by a shipmate in 1981. Though I made no commitment, I realize now the gospel seed had been planted, for just a few years later, while stationed in the Philippines, that gospel seed bloomed, and I came under great conviction about the life I had been living. I purchased a Bible and began to read, seeking the truth that was deeply convicting me. After many nights of reading the Gospels, the Lord opened my eyes and my heart, and I understood my need for the Savior and made my profession of faith in 1986. As a physician assistant, I began my career practicing primary care medicine for 5 years, but later transitioned to orthopedic surgery and have practiced in this field for the past 10 years. I have served in several ministries at Temple Baptist Church, including teaching adult and children's Sunday school, Awana, yearly missions trips, as well as deacon. I am currently enrolled at West Coast Baptist College, working towards my master's degree in biblical studies.
I was born and raised on the island of Mindanao in the Republic of the Philippines. My parents attended a Methodist church, and I was taught to serve the Lord faithfully because that's the way to go to heaven. During high school, my parents sent me and my siblings to a school run by Baptist missionaries, and I was saved in 1973. After high school, the Lord led me into the nursing field, and 2 years later, I came to the United States to work in upstate New York. I now have been working in neonatal ICU for the past 18 years. 6 years after coming to the U.S., I met Alan, and later we married. We have been blessed with 3 wonderful children, and my goal is to assist my husband in ministering to the people of Uganda in body and in soul.
While on our church's first medical missions trip to Uganda in 2005, the Lord opened our eyes to what a tool and a blessing the medical ministry could be to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord used several other mission trips to convict me to serve Him on the mission field. After praying and seeking the Lord's will, we had peace and assurance that the Lord would have us minister to the people of Uganda, East Africa. Our goal in Uganda is not to establish a full-time medical clinic, but to evangelize and plant churches as clearly commissioned in the Gospels. But, just as our Lord Jesus Christ also ministered to people's physical bodies, we wish to use the medical ministry as a way to reach the Ugandans with the Gospel through the healing of their bodies.
My name is Pastor David Pittman, and I am Alan and Elena's home pastor. I'd like to share with you a little bit of our burden to see them get to the mission field as quickly as possible. Alan and Elena are a mature and godly family who've served faithfully in our church for almost 10 years. They've been actively involved in our Sunday school, Awana's visitation ministry, and Alan's currently one of our deacons. They've been on numerous missions trips with us all over the world, and Alan has preached on some of those trips, and we've seen many saved through his preaching. But the thing that makes them different among missionaries is their extensive medical background. Alan is a physician's assistant, and Elena is a registered nurse. And they both have such a heart for people that for them to be able to touch the body, it opens up the soul of the people of Africa. Being soul winners, and Alan being a preacher, and both of them being medical providers, can make such a tremendous difference in reaching the lost in Africa. I believe that the Sutton family will bring great heavenly rewards to your church if you choose to support them. May the Lord bless you as you prayerfully consider supporting them and their ministry to the people of Uganda, East Africa.
In Uganda alone, there are 60 million cases of malaria per year, and it actually kills 320 people daily. Malaria is also the leading killer of children under 5 years of age. Pray that we could reach many souls before they are taken away into a Christless eternity. We will also face competition for the hearts of the Ugandan people from religions of Catholicism, Islam, the cults, as well as indigenous religions, including witchcraft. Please pray that we would reach many souls with the truth of the gospel, unhindered by satanic forces. We will do this through evangelizing and discipling the Ugandan people, planting local churches, assisting with the Men's Bible Institute and the Sorority Orphanage Assistance Project, and extending the outreach of the local church through the medical ministry. Please pray for the Sutphins as we minister to the body to reach souls in Uganda for our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, a little bit about our ministry in Uganda. This in the town where we shall go, Lord willing, it's named Soroti. This is central Uganda, about 4 hours' drive north of the capital. It's a town of about 15,000 people, fairly large. There's a mission already begun there. There's a church, an orphanage, a school, and a men's Bible institute, all begun by BIMI missionaries in the early 2000s, 2002, 2003. My goal is to not just become part of the team there. I will gladly help out where needed in any of those ministries. But of course, my goal is to establish a second church outside the Soroti area. Like I said, I don't want to build a clinic and get stuck inside a clinic, you know, eight to 10 hours a day, from endless stream of patients that would come to seek medical care. Our goal is to become very mobile. The medical equipment that I would use is all primary care medicine, so not just tropical disease, such as malaria and typhoid and intestinal worms. If any of you just ate, I won't go into what the worms look like and how they're diagnosed, but a lot of conditions out there, along with high blood pressure, diabetes, a lot of pediatrics. I'm going to have to study up on pediatrics a little bit. It's been a while since I've worked on children, except orthopedic-wise, and but we want to be very mobile. We don't want to get stuck in one place, so we're going to pack everything in our vehicle, and we will drive out to remote villages outside Soroti, villages that may have not been reached yet, not so much with medical care, but with the gospel. Our plan would be to go in one of these villages, meet with the chief. The village might be 10 people, might be 20 people, or somewhere in between, to meet with the chief, to get his permission to see the people medically. We often find that's a good tool to get into a village, especially a Muslim village. There are a lot of Muslim villages on the outskirts of Soroti, and of course they're not going to let a Christian just waltz in and start preaching the gospel to the Muslim villages. But it's been already established in other African countries that a lot of Muslim villages will allow missionaries to come in to give medical care. And that can be the open door, sort of the foot in the door that will get us into that village. And as missionaries have gone back time and time again to the same village, the Muslims eventually kind of softened to those missionaries and got used to them. And actually they did evangelize in many towns. And this was actually in the Ivory Coast in West Africa. And so if we can run across a Muslim village, we, Lord willing, will use the tool of medicine to get into that village, and of course, to get the gospel to that village. But Muslim or not, it doesn't matter. If we can minister to people's bodies, to put our faith into practice, to sort of practice what we preach, so to speak, and minister to their bodies and see souls saved because of that, then we'll praise the Lord for that. And our goal, of course, is to find the appropriate place outside of Soroti and start a church. And it may be a small church. It may be no building. It may be under a mango tree. It may be a log with a few people sitting on a log under the mango tree with me up here. Well, it won't be up here. It'll be on the ground. There'll be no pulpit. But I'll be preaching to them, discipling them. And it may be just a few people, and that might be church for a little while until we grow and get bigger and get a building built. But just like in the book of Acts, When the church started out, it started out in people's homes, very small, and that's the way it may start in Uganda. But Lord willing, we will grow and see churches grow and get a church going and up on its own, pastored by a national pastor. Of course, that's the goal for the church, to be autonomous, you know, running on its own, not being helped out by American missionaries, either myself or our funds. They want to be funded on their own. And whether it takes 2 years or 6 years, we don't know. We'll see. The Lord will provide. But that is our goal. And I just want to make that very, very clear, that we are church planting missionaries, and we don't want to get caught up in the humanitarian or medical missionary model. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I think there's definitely a place for medical missions, you know, orphanages and schools. But as I'm going to talk in a few minutes, I believe our chief task is to preach the gospel. Amen. And get the gospel to people, because that's what changes lives. And so that's what we will do there. Again, I mentioned many religions in Uganda. It's not that they're completely a-religious. There are many people who have never heard the gospel, but also heard it a distorted gospel. We need to write that, whether it be from Catholicism or some other group, to set them straight, because the gospel will change lives just like it changed mine. And I praise the Lord for that. Again, August 2010, Lord willing, we will get out to Uganda. There are three families already there. Like I said, three BIMI missionary families. We will assist them in any way we can, whether it be caring for their health concerns, you know, them and their children. There's a men's Bible Institute, a small one, already begun, so we can start discipling men who might be called or led to become pastors, because that's the whole idea, is for these nationals to get saved, discipled, be called or led to the pastor, to be a national pastor, and to take over these churches. And, of course, the most wonderful thing, to have a Ugandan church, and then Ugandans from that church to be called out from that church to go to be missionaries to Uganda itself or other countries in Africa. Amen. That'd be the greatest blessing if we could see that. And so, Lord willing, that is our goal. A lot of interesting animals in Africa. We have a few on our table there. The tarantula, that's just a little one. You saw the snake in the video. My wife loves snakes. She just can't wait to get over there and start handling them. Just kidding, she does not. I don't love them, but I have no fear of them. But the black mamba, we have to fear. Some people call that the two-step. You know, it bites you, and you get about two steps, and you're gone. It's a slight exaggeration, but a bite of the black mamba is very deadly. If you don't get some treatment, most people die. So that's just a few things we might encounter over there. Homes, missionary homes, are similar to what we have here. I mean, as far as four walls and a roof, most Ugandans are very poor. They live in a mud hut. They walk everywhere. They walk everywhere. Unless they have a bicycle, they would be considered very well off. Otherwise, they walk everywhere. And, but we are not going to Uganda to give them material possessions or material things. That's not what they need. They need the gospel is what they need. Amen. And that's what we want to do. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to have you turn to the book of Mark. There's a few thoughts here from the scriptures, the greatest book in the universe. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, is one of the great commission verses. This is, as I hinted on, about what we should be doing. There's a lot of ministries in the church, many, many ministries. We have the choir up here, there's men's ministries, there's women's ministries, all kinds of things going on inside the church, but which one should take precedence? Well, we don't have to ask, because it's right here in Mark 16. And this is Jesus talking. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Again, a lot of missions or a lot of ministries inside the church. But there can only be one, what I call, supreme task of the church, and we just read it right there. That supreme task has to be to evangelize the world. Amen. Not that the other ministries are not important. there's a lot of things that are going on that are very important for the uplifting and discipleship of the body of Christ. But there can only be one supreme task that needs to have the full attention of the church, and that's to get the gospel out. And that's greatly illustrated. Might warm up your fingers because we're going to go through some scriptures tonight. The book of Acts, if you have your Bibles. Book of Acts, chapter 6, please. Acts chapter 6, just to sort of set this up. This is the early church. Church was just beginning. Within the church, there were many people, including widows. Their husbands had passed away. The church understood their need for food, basically. I mean, the people need to eat, obviously. Amen. And Baptists like to do it no more than anyone else. I mean, much more than anyone else. And I try to eat, I try to exercise as much as I can because I used to eat a little too much. And the doctor said, watch out. The diabetes is coming upon me. Unfortunately, it runs in my family. But praise the Lord that hasn't gotten me yet. But in the early church, we see that widows, there was a little issue going on, a little, I don't want to say an attitude or prejudice, but there were certain Jews who were being discriminated against. I guess they felt they weren't getting their proper portion of food as some others were given. So the disciples had to do something. So we're going to start in Acts 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Here's the key verse. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The disciples understood the need for people to eat. They understood the importance of that. And they chose 7 men to take care of that. But they weren't going to let the distribution of food supersede or take priority over their preaching of the word. Amen. Their job was to get the word of God out, to preach it to the people, and not worry about food as far as making that their priority. Obviously, people needed to eat. But they understood theirs was prayer and preaching of the word. And it's the same for us right here. There's many, many ministries inside the church, but they can't overtake or overrun the ministry of the preaching of the word, of getting the gospel out, whether it be right here in Clayton, North Carolina, or Tokyo, Japan. It doesn't matter where. We need to get the gospel out. And the disciples understood that very clearly. For a little illustration, picture the disciples. When Jesus fed the 5,000, let's say he had the 5,000 line up in rows. Let's say Peter and John were handing just like ushers on each side. They were handing down the bread and fish. And of course, they were out there all day. They were very hungry. And they got halfway down, and the people in the front rows began yelling for seconds. It's natural. Some of us want seconds. Like me, I always try to get seconds. And they started yelling for seconds. And of course, the disciples, well, we're close by. Let's go ahead and give them seconds. And they sent some down there. Human nature, what it is. What are the people in the back rows going to start doing? Of course, they're going to start yelling and screaming. What are you doing? What are you doing? Peter, John, they're getting seconds already. We even had our firsts. We have not had our firsts. We have not had our firsts. We in the United States, not to make us feel guilty, we are very blessed. Amen. We are very blessed in this country. Most of us have one or probably multiple copies of the Word of God in our home. We hear the preaching every week from gospel preaching churches. Sometimes we can even hear it on the radio, depending on the radio station. We hear the gospel multiple times. There are some people in the world, maybe even some in this country, but in the world, who have not heard the gospel once. They have not had that first helping yet of the gospel, whether it be here in this country or elsewhere. Those are the people in the back rows. Those are the people that we need to think about and reach. We've been in many churches. I don't know, it's been, I don't know, about 30 churches in the past 7 or 8 months. And praise the Lord, we've been in great, solid gospel preaching, independent Baptist churches. We thank the Lord for that. And it always amazes me how we can go to different parts of the country and we hear the same Savior, the same gospel message, the same preaching. We praise the Lord for that. And our mission is the same. Amen. The mission is to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. But sometimes we get our blinders on in our churches. We sort of get bogged down with the ministries here in the church. And sometimes we not completely forget, but sort of put on the back burner those people in the back rows. Those people in the back rows who haven't gotten their first helping yet. So it's my challenge and my encouragement for us tonight is to not forget about those people, whether it be Uganda, Sydney, Australia, Moscow, Russia, doesn't matter where. There's people all over the world who have not yet heard the gospel, and those are the people we need to reach. I know I'm probably preaching to the gospel or to the choir here a bit, but just to remind us and challenge us not to forget about those people on the back rows, because I was once one of those people. Remember when I shared with you and in the video about myself growing up in Pennsylvania, I lived on streets with, I remember some Catholic friends of mine, you know, my same age as a teenager growing up, and not to beat up the Catholics. I tried that and that doesn't work in witnessing to them, but I just don't remember my Catholic friends sharing the gospel with me. They never spoke about that. I remember them speaking about CCD classes that they had to go to every Monday night, and I didn't really understand that, but they never shared the gospel with me. So I was living in Greater Ford, Pennsylvania, that's outside Philadelphia, and I grew up not remember ever hearing about the gospel right here in the USA. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's many people in many parts of this great country who have not heard the gospel. So again, whether it be here or another place, we need to reach those people. But when I joined the Navy, because I really had no idea what I wanted to do, one thing I made sure of my two teenage boys who are going off to college this fall is to try to help them focus on something that they really want to do, they feel the Lord is calling them into. And not that there's anything wrong with the military. I'm sure we have a lot of veterans here. But I just really, I didn't get a lot of input from my dad about what I might do, and I had no idea. So I raised my hand, took that oath of affirmation. They shaved off all my hair. They said, "Don't worry, son, it'll grow back." And I'm still waiting for it to grow back. These 20-some years. Where is it? U.S. Navy, you told me it would grow back, but I don't know what happened. But I was on that aircraft carrier in 1981. I thank the Lord that shipmate. I did aviation electronics. I wasn't medicine then. I worked on anti-submarine warfare equipment, infrared systems. It would break in the airplane. They'd send it to my shop, and I'd work on it and fix it and send it back. And one day, a shipmate of mine just called me over to his bench, a couple stools. He just sat me down. I had no idea what he wanted. I thought I was in trouble because he outranked me, and I thought I was going to get reprimanded. He sat down, and he just gave me a matter-of-fact, crystal-clear presentation of the gospel. He just laid it out for me, almost like a business proposition. No emotion, no passion or preaching. He just laid it out for me right then and there. We said a prayer for about 10 seconds. He said a few things, explained a few things, and then he let me go back to my bench. I did not make a profession at that time. I remember thinking, well, I didn't say this, but I said, well, I'm glad it works for you. I'm glad that you're happy, and but didn't seem to do anything at that time. But oh, how ignorant I was, and how little did I know that the gospel seed was planted in that summer of 1981 on that carrier. Because a few years later, I was stationed in the Philippines. Which I did not meet my wife there. You'd think I met her there in the military, but we did not. We met later after I got out of the Navy. But I was stationed in the Philippines, and I was living the typical sailor's life. Any sailors here that know about the Philippines, it's probably the most coveted after set of orders a sailor could want. I mean, it was very intensely popular duty station. And I won't go into detail with the women and children here, but it was just, let's say, a sailor's paradise. I mean, all kinds of activities, the alcohol, everything was right there. The clubs, the bars, and I thought I was having a great time. I was doing that for about 6 months until I came under great and heavy conviction by the Holy Spirit. Not so much the way I was living, but that I should be doing something more with my life. And I was squandering and just kind of rolling around in the dirt, in the miry clay, kind of wasting my life. You know, I was a good sailor. I was a good 4-0 sailor. I always got good marks, kept my nose clean. But otherwise, I was doing nothing. And the Lord began convicting me. I got so convicted. This was 1985. When I was there in the Philippines, I actually went on base to the on-base bookstore and bought a Bible and began reading it. Not really remembering exactly what I was told, but it just all came from inside, just being convicted. And I started in the Gospels, and I began reading at night before I went to bed. I was just on my back with my pillow under my head, and I was just reading the Gospels. It was just the Gospels, just like a novel. Nice stories, you know, Jesus healing and doing all the miracles, but it was a novel. It was a nice story. It didn't mean anything. Until about 2 weeks later, I was reading one night, and all of a sudden, it was like a light switch just came on. Whatever was blocking the spiritual reality of the Gospel just dropped. And the words just penetrated my mind and my heart. And I just felt such a burden lift off of my shoulders. I didn't have all the answers, but I knew I was a sinner on my way to hell. I know I needed a Savior, and I needed to repent of my sins. And those sins would be forgiven. I cried for at least a half hour, 45 minutes, just tears of joy pouring down my face, knowing I'd found it. I found what I was looking for. Though I didn't have all the answers, I went to a local church where a serviceman went off base, and because I had a lot of questions, and I got all my questions answered, and I made a formal profession of faith in February 1986. I was baptized a few months later in the South China Sea in the Philippines, and I praise the Lord. And here I am today praising His name because He lifted me up just by the blood of Christ, the blood that He shed on Calvary. The simple act, and this is my point, the simple act of that shipmate sharing the gospel with me on that carrier just changed my life 180 degrees. I'm sure we all have our testimonies. I know we're all saved a little bit differently. But my point is that shipmate took the time to sit me down one-on-one and just simply share the gospel with me. And that's the power of the gospel. Amen. If you have your Bible, Book of Romans. The Book of Romans here. Chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 16, a verse you've all read many, many times, and I've read it too. When I surrendered after that mission trip in 2005, when the Lord started working on my heart, we had a choice to make. We lived a great life outside Washington, D.C., a very affluent area, Fairfax County, and as a PA, I was working orthopedic surgery in Bethesda, Maryland. My wife was working part-time as a nurse. We had a great home, cars, vacations. We seemed to be doing very well. Very active in church. I think we were serving faithfully, but definitely no hardships, material-wise. After we came back from that trip, the Lord started convicting me about what I should be doing. Not just as a believer, but as a medical provider. And he forced me into a decision. Stay in Washington, treat the fat cats of Washington, D.C., or go to Uganda, East Africa, and treat the people there. Not so much medically, but to give them the gospel. I'm not sure about Clayton. I have no idea about Clayton. But when we go door knocking around Washington, D.C., a lot of people, most people, are just too busy. They're just too busy. I mean, they might politely listen. They might take the tract or information, but they're not interested in hearing the gospel. They're more interested in taking care of their boats or their vacation homes or worrying about their 401ks that are now plunging down into the depths. Eventually they'll come back, we'll see. But there's just too many things, the cares of this world, the Lord warned us about being all wrapped up in the things of this world. And that's the way it was in Washington, D.C. Doesn't mean we give up on them. We keep faithfully trying to reach those people. But when the Lord presented that to me about that choice, the choice was very easy. Very easy for me. There was no, and I'm not saying that to brag, but when the Lord, our God, the Savior that wears our scars, the scars that we should be wearing and not Him, when He comes and calls you and taps you on the shoulder, how can we say no? I mean, how can we say no to the Savior? I don't really understand it, but I found the decision to go to Uganda very easy. And we surrendered in our 2007 missions conference that year. Got approved at BIMI last year. And, you know, here we are in deputation. Praise the Lord for that. And in our church, our pastor does all the preaching. The missionary, he's up at the pulpit. He says a little testimony about his work. He shows his DVD. Then he sits down. Our pastor does the preaching. So I thought, that's the way they did it in all the churches. And I said, I can probably do that. That's not too bad. I can handle that. Until one of our fellow missionaries from our own church said, excuse me, Alan, you're going to be preaching in probably 80 to 90% of the churches you're going to be in. And I was quite distressed. And I mean, I can do public speaking, but, you know, to preach from the Word of God, I wasn't very a trained preacher at that time. But to close, here's my take-home point. My pastor understood this. We went on a missions trip to Brazil in the Amazon jungle. In early 2007, he let me preach my first sermon to a small church in the Amazon in Brazil. And I somehow stumbled, and that was actually on the DVD. You saw me in the light blue shirt with the interpreter. That's Sean Lundy, a missionary in Brazil. He was translating in Portuguese as I was preaching. And somehow I struggled. My knees were knocking, and I was shaking, and somehow I got the gospel out, I hope, and I sat down, and he gave the formal invitation because he was fluent in Portuguese. And I sat in the very first pew, laid my head down as I was praying, and I snuck a peek up or two at the altar. Nobody. Zero. Nobody came forward. And I was thinking, oh, man, my first sermon, a big goose egg. Oh, man. Lord, what? I was very disappointed. And so I wrapped up the service, you know, it was all done, and, you know, people, you know, fellowshipping, and one of our fellow missionaries came up and said, congratulations, brother. I said, congratulations about what? Oh, and there's four people. Four people got saved tonight. I said, what? What do you mean four people? I didn't see anybody. Yeah, they got up and they went to the back. I said, to the back? No one told me, and I don't want to say all of Brazil, but at least in this part of the Amazon, when someone comes forward, either for, you know, salvation, baptism, whatever it might be, they stand up and they go to the rear. They don't come forward. And there's people in the back to meet them back there. So four people came backwards, I suppose, and went to the back and made professions of faith in Jesus Christ that night. Now, I don't know if that was the first time they heard the gospel. You know, maybe they were already given the gospel and there was some watering going on, and I just happened to be there for the reaping. I praise the Lord for that. But my point is, that proves my point, it's not me. It's not me or anything about me. No charisma, because I don't have any. No hair, because I don't have any. It's not my suit. It's what? And here it is right in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And there it is right there. What's the power? The gospel of Christ. To do what? Unto salvation. To save. It's the gospel that has the power to save. It's not me. Not that we shouldn't be, you know, passionate and there's something to be said about, you know, good preaching. But I'd be fooling myself to think that, you know, that time in the Amazon or any time I'm up in the pulpit, that someone might make a decision that it's, you know, somehow on my shoulders that does all the swaying of men's hearts. It's not that. It's the gospel. And we see it right there. And that time in the Amazon was the time that proves exactly that. I don't know how I stumbled through, but somehow I did. And the Holy Spirit worked in those four Brazilian people's lives. And they were saved that night. And the Lord, that was such a help to me. And that's my point tonight, is to be an encourager to you to do the exact same thing. I am no different than any of you sitting in these pews here tonight. I am just a born-again believer, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I was sitting in pews here just like you were for the past 10 years at Temple Baptist Church. I'd see missionaries come in, they show their DVD, and you know, I was sort of swept up sometimes. Said, wow, that'd be great to go there and look at these cool places and snakes that they get to play with. And okay, no snakes, but you know, to give the gospel to people in these Pacific islands or in the savannas of Africa. But so I was just like you, sitting in these pews when the Lord came and tapped on my heart. He can do the same thing to any of you tonight. The only difference between myself, possibly, and yourself is you just have to be a willing and empty vessel, ready to be filled. And if you're like that tonight, maybe the Lord might be even working upon you tonight. Or maybe He has been for the past weeks or months about what you might do to serve Him in full-time service, maybe to the mission field. Maybe not. He doesn't call everyone to the mission field. Maybe it's to reach that person that you've been working with for the past 10, 20 years, or that neighbor across the street, that person in the convenience store, whoever it is. Like we said before, we all need the gospel. There's people in those back rows who haven't heard it yet. Those are the people we need to reach. And who's going to reach? It can't be just pastors and missionaries. It has to be all of us. We're all in this together as a church, as the body of Christ. And we can do this. Because if I can do this, any single person here can do that. It's a matter of just simply sharing the gospel, getting the gospel out, and letting the gospel's power through Christ work in people's hearts. Why don't we all bow our heads, close our eyes, have the pastor come. And again, my parting challenge is maybe someone here tonight who the Lord's been working on about what you could do to further the gospel in people's lives, whether it be on the mission field or the mission field of Clayton, Westford, or Clayton, North Carolina. And you never know who the Lord will tap. Maybe there's someone here even tonight who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I know there's people here in this church can show you from the Word of God how you can be saved tonight under His blood on your way to heaven. And I just praise the Lord that you would think and make a serious prayer in your hearts about what the Lord could do through you here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Pastor.